his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and they lead and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore Jesus said again, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full."
Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you. Good to be here with you again. Let's pray. Your word, God, is trustworthy, reviving the soul. So we pray now that you would revive our soul for your honour and glory. Amen. Well, we're looking at this morning at these words of Jesus. I am the gate. Maybe not as impressive as "I am the light of the world" or "the bread of life" that we've looked at these last 2 weeks. A gate. I've got a gate. Who else has a gate? Yep, okay, not everyone. Sorry about that. But most of us, if you don't have a gate, you've got a door. Right, I use my gate a fair bit to come in and out of, to be able to get access into the back of my place. And some of you, if you are coming to my place, you might come by the back gate and come into my place that way. Wednesday, couldn't really use the gate. Very flooded on Wednesday. But all's good. Why does Jesus say it? "I am the gate." What is he saying? What is it that he means? And what does it mean for us today? They're the three questions I want us to think about and look at as we make sense of these words of Jesus this morning. I've got to admit it has been a bit of a struggle this week getting my head around it and what it is that Jesus is saying. Maybe because it comes in a passage that also speaks of Jesus as the good shepherd. So the full passage here, so it starts at verse 1 there, but really keeps going through to verse 21. So Jesus, in the next little bit, says, "I am the good shepherd." And we're much more familiar with those words of Jesus. But both these "I am" statements come in the same passage. And reading and thinking about this passage, all the focus seems to be on Jesus as the good shepherd. And very little or nothing at all about Jesus as the gate. It can get lost a little bit. So next week we're going to be in the same passage all the way to the end and thinking about Good Shepherd. And Robbie Hayes is going to be with us preaching that. But this morning it's looking at the gate. So why does he say it? That's our first question. Why does Jesus start talking about sheep and a gate and a shepherds? It could be that the people are with him, and it just so happens that over here there are some sheep. So as an illustration, he starts talking about them to help them to understand what it is that he wants to teach them. Now the context here tells us that Jesus is being challenged by the Pharisees. He's being opposed. His authority is being challenged and questioned. If you come to the end of the passage, chapter 10, verse 20, some are saying that he's demon-possessed and raving mad. But there's even division amongst themselves. Verse 21, others say, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Now that's what Jesus has just done. In chapter 9, been there, a blind man, he's been blind from birth, and Jesus has given him sight. And that man, that blind man, he's been thrown out of the synagogue. And you can see that in chapter 9, verses 34 and 35. Right, Jesus has come, he said that he is the light of the world. Jesus gives sight to this man born blind, but the religious leaders, the Pharisees, they're having trouble believing. They find it hard to believe that Jesus has just done that. Right? They're not seeing it. They're not seeing who Jesus is. And you can see their unbelief really right throughout John's gospel so far. And Jesus keeps being challenged on who he is, how can he do these things, and these claims he makes keeps being challenged. Right? So that's the context that Jesus speaks this little analogy of sheep into. The context where his authority is being challenged. So let's have a look at the analogy, and then we'll ask our second question. What is it Jesus is saying? Now, as we hear Jesus' words, it's probably worth noting that things were a little bit different in Jesus' day than they are today. Now, I don't know a whole lot about sheep, but if we think about sheep, like in Australia, I'm thinking sheep stations and thousands of sheep on big properties. It's probably a little bit different in what Jesus is saying here. It's probably a sheep pen or a courtyard just near where Jesus is speaking, some enclosure, much smaller numbers of sheep, and possibly shared by a number of families, and all those sheep are together. All right, that could be how it is, and then there's a watchman there of at the gate. And then as the owner or the shepherd of those sheep come in, then the sheep that belong to him know his voice. Okay, so it's probably more like that. So chapter 10, verse 1. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Now, on its own, I think that is easy enough to understand what is going on there. But what is it that Jesus is saying? What is the point that he is making? Well, we're told in verse 6, they don't know what Jesus is saying. Verse 6, have a look. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. So you can understand the story, but why is Jesus telling this story? What is the point that he is making? All right, so they did not understand. Who are the they? That's likely to be the Pharisees, maybe a wider group, a crowd of Jews as well. This seems to be who Jesus is speaking to here. And maybe they don't understand because they are not of his sheep. Jesus keeps going, uses this same sort of language of sheep and gates and shepherds, but keeps going and talks about himself. So it's like he puts it another way to help them to understand. Or maybe so he can make his point. And I think what we have here in verses 1 to 5 acts as a bit of a springboard for what he's about to say in 7 to 10 about him being the gate, and then in 11 to 21 for what he then says about him being the shepherd. I think this one story then serves for both of those. Okay. All right, so let's have a look at the bit that he talks about the gate. So from verse 7, therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." But to say that he's the gate, I think that is a big claim of authority. So let me explain. Jesus is saying, some people are the real deal, others are not. And the Jews, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they're trying to work out which Jesus is, whether he is the real deal or not. With all these things that he's doing, all these claims that he's making, they want to know, who is he? Where has he come from? Jesus, by everything he says, everything he does, he's been saying that he is sent from God. He's trying to show them that he is the real deal. But they keep questioning him. They're not believing. And then he, very cleverly, I think, he then turns it around here, showing how they fail to see. And in effect, he now questions them and their leadership. Right? Not only is he a shepherd, or the shepherd, the good shepherd, which we'll see the significance of next week, but he is the gate for the sheep and for the shepherd. Not a gate. He is the gate. Now, these religious leaders, I think they see themselves as the gatekeepers. And they're working out, like, who's real or not. They're the gatekeepers. Jesus says he is the gate. So first and foremost, I think this is a claim of authority. But it's also about access, isn't it? Like that's what a gate is. You use a gate to be able to come in and out. Jesus says, "I am the gate for the sheep." So the sheep come in and out by the gate. Verse 8, I think he has maybe a bit of a go at the leaders. Maybe the messianic pretenders as well. "All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them." And then he declares, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture." So, again, it's access, entering through him. But access for what? Well, what's on the other side of the gate? Well, two things, aren't there, in what we've just said, what Jesus has said. Firstly, safety. Sorry, doesn't start with an A, but safety. You will be saved, or you will be safe. That is what is on the other side of the gate. Safety. That's what Jesus gives you. And secondly, there's an abundance. Plenty, talking about the pasture, good pasture. You'll be provided for. Everything that you need will be yours. You access that through the gate. So safety and abundance are through him, are through Jesus. That is what is on the other side of the gate. Or you could say salvation and life are through him. That's what he gives you. Because verse 10, he goes on and says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full," or to the abundance. Life to the full, life to the abundance. That's what Jesus says you have if you have him. And that's what our vision is as a church, sharing the new life of Jesus with the world. It comes from this verse. John 10, verse 10, is a bit of a key verse for us as our church and our vision. "I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." So what is Jesus saying? It's a claim of authority to be the gate for the sheep and the shepherds. They think they're the gatekeepers. Jesus says he's the gate. And access. Access is through him for safety, for abundance, for salvation, for life. So what does it mean for us today? Well, I think, firstly, Jesus doesn't change. Jesus is the same today as he was yesterday, as he is tomorrow, which means that we can have even more confidence in believing in him, in who he says he is, in his authority. Right? Now that we live on the other side of the cross, we know that he has died. We know why he's died on the cross. And we know that God has raised him up to life again, and that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. He is the Lord. He is the risen Lord. So we can have even more confidence to believe in him, in who he says he is. So maybe the challenge for us is to accept this authority in our life. Now we can know it's true, but the other thing is to accept it and to let him run our life. I think this is a challenge for many of us. We want to be independent, don't we? We're good at that. But Jesus is Lord. We like doing things our own way. But Jesus is Lord. Maybe we're happy for Jesus to be there alongside us in the passenger seat, rather than giving him control of the wheel. We're happy for him to be there in the passenger seat, but maybe we haven't given him the keys. Now, if you're a Christian, you have come to see that Jesus is the Christ, that he has been sent by God to give us life. So we know this to be true. We need to keep believing this every day. Day by day, keep believing that this is true about Jesus. That safety and abundance are through him. That salvation and life are through him. We know it is true, but maybe it doesn't always seem to be the case. You mightn't feel safe. You mightn't feel like you do have an abundance. And life to the full, you might question that as well. My last 2 days have been pretty ordinary. On Friday, I got some pretty shocking news from a mate, a friend, a Christian friend, and their world has just come crashing down. The last 2 days have been hard for me, but I can't imagine what the last 5 days have been like for him and his family. But I've seen this, and I haven't been able to stop thinking about what has just happened to him. But knowing that has been the case, and thinking about these verses, I've come to see that these verses still hold true for him. Right? Despite everything that has just come down, crashing down for him, Jesus is still there for him. Safety, salvation is still in him. Abundance, pasture, being provided for, is still in him. In a worldly sense, he has now lost a lot of that. But in Jesus, it is still there. Life, relationship with God through Jesus is still there. None of that has changed. God's grace is still there. That remains for him. And while his life is now full of all sorts of uncertainties, God's grace remains. That is certain. Now, I know for some of you that life is not great at the moment, but these words still hold true. And I can't read these words and not think of Psalm 23 that we read earlier, that Bill read. a well-known psalm. I'm going to read it again. And hear these words as they are. Great encouragement and assurance of these words. Psalm 23. All right, whatever is happening, this is true. The Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My gate at home, I'm thinking that can serve as a reminder for me of these words, so that every time I walk through that gate, I can think of these words. I walk through my gate at home, and I access a home, a place where I do feel safe, a place that is mine and where I am provided for. There is blessing there. But I can walk through my gate, and I can now remember that through Jesus I am home. That through Jesus I have life and salvation, blessing. I can enjoy all of God's blessings, his grace, because Jesus is the gate for his sheep. And I am one of those sheep. And if you are too, then be encouraged by what it means for Jesus to be the gate for you to have access to safety, to salvation, to life, to God's blessing. It is all through him. And there are lots of other gates that we can open, and they can look good and impressive and offer us the world, but in the end, they don't. And whatever they might offer us will not last. Jesus is the gate for his sheep. Maybe you're not a Christian yet, and you would like to think more about this. You'd like to know more, then keep coming. And we've got a 4-week course looking at One Life, what is it all about. I'd love for you to do that and to speak with you more about that. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for these words of Jesus and for what they do mean for us today. That Jesus is the gate for his sheep. That through him, there is life, there is salvation, there is your blessing. Grace is found in you. We thank you for this. Amen.